Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, we are one day away from the first game of the 2018 NRL season, and all that hard work, months of research, it's all set to come to fruition now with the first lockout tomorrow. So, huge show, and what better to get the gang back together? And on the other line, I've got Joe Surgebuster, the all-conquering teams analysis guru now, and Nick, who I'm not really sure what you do these days.
Mate, I do a lot of stuff in the background. I'm sitting in the background, you know, just bloody posting ads on the website and all sorts of stuff like that. That's about it.
Mate, yeah, mate, you're the glue that keeps us together, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Just one-liners, zingers.
You're the definition of a floater.
No, glue guy. I'm glue guy. Every team needs glue a glue guy. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
mate.
That's you, mate.
Well, yeah, nice welcomes. So this is the first pod that we've probably done together for over 12 months. So exciting.
Yeah, I you talked before about how exciting it has been planning for months, and I'm not sure whether the months of planning makes the panic worse or better. Because judging by, you know, the way you and I and Nick have been going back and forth, thousands of messages in the last 24 hours, I think we're all panicking in some way, aren't we?
Yeah, delete team, mate. I'm not even playing this year. It's too stressful already. Imagine when round one starts and, forget it. Just stick with the preseason, multiple draft teams. Don't have to actually worry about the pressure of locking in that round one side. Yeah, it's doing my head in a little bit, and Teamless Tuesday certainly didn't help. What about yourself, Nick? Are you just cool, calm, cruising into round one, or are there a few things going on in your head?
No, mate, just cruising along. I've had my team. I think last night I took about 2 minutes and made three swaps, and I was done.
Yeah, I mean, that probably explains your pitiful performances over the last couple of seasons.
No, I've just set and forget. I just lock in, mate, change a couple of rooks, change one mid-pricer, and then I'd had to work till midnight. But aside from that, it was good, all mate, sorted.
You working till midnight? I thought it's a 5 p.m., no more. What's going on?
No more, mate, no more. They were the good old days, weren't they? Glory days.
All right, so with lockout tomorrow, well, the first one initially, and then we jump straight into more of the heavier one on Friday and then rolling throughout the weekend. We thought tonight we'll, you know, have a bit of an intro preview to the first lockout, and we'll actually reveal our sides. Well, I mean, caveat there that mine's changed about 10 times since the one we're going to discuss today, but the core cogs are there, and I think you boys are pretty much in the same boat. And then we're basically going to, critique each other's side, and there'll also be a post that'll go up that'll be adjoining to this podcast, so a bit of fun, a bit of banter, and then we'll also just jump into a bit of the news, looking at how the teams are shaping up, who are the big winners, who are the big losers, and you know, we do have the man at the moment here, Surgebuster, and I believe that your team's analysis, mate, has cracked, I think, almost 37,000 views, so that's pretty phenomenal.
Well, mate, I think we can all admit that it's not down to me, it's down to one John Pallavi. So I'd like to shout out to him and his wonderful short-lived career for the Warriors. Gave us a bit of a boost with the old Pallavi scale.
Mate, that has been an absolute winner. People are loving that. And we'll definitely try to use that throughout this podcast as well, because it is a pretty well, I think it's the defining ranking for rookies. I don't think anyone ever has come up with anything like that. So from this day on, you know, the quality of a rookie will be judged by the Pahlavi scale. So set forth, move on. And with that, so should we jump straight into the news?
This is the news.
Okay, so Teamless Tuesday yesterday, and as we just you know, mentioned before, Joe has taken over writing the team's analysis this year. So I'm going to get you to a fair bit of speaking in the next, you know, 10 minutes or so. We don't need to jump into too much detail because you've already outlined a lot in your article yesterday. But maybe let's just start stepping through the winners. So no surprises that the list of players that we have here are all rookies, except for one, a mid-price player. But Joe, do you want to just talk us through some of the key winners of the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a crapshoot with a lot of mediocre cheapies being named. But I think you know, some of the outstanding ones, Valami Kikau getting named to start on the edge for the Panthers. I know Harawira Naira is, you know, working his way slowly back from off-season surgery, but it looks like Kikau is going to get some decent minutes in the first few weeks and start to make a fair bit of cash. I think he's in all our sides. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, in mine, mate.
Yeah, good stuff. Asako on the wing is going to stay as long as Jack Bird is tucking into that bucket of KFC, which by the looks of him, that's what he's been doing all off-season. Round four, round five at the earliest for Jack Bird, so Asako looks to have a pretty clear run until then for the Bronx. Sylvia Havili, I've gone off him, and a lot of coaches have, just given what's gone on with Damien Cook and no bench hooker for Souths, but he's an obvious winner regardless, just given that he's that base price and, you know, is looking for 50 to 60 minutes for the Raiders. You've got TKO, Takiaho down here, Josh, in the run sheet, mate. Walk us through why you think he's a winner.
Well, I just think that he's a winner for the fact that he's been named in the starting side. I mean, he's been a bit part player for the Roosters in the past couple of seasons. You don't know where he's going to be lining up, generally rotating off the bench. But, you know, if you look at the Roosters bench, there is Napa there, who's an Origin prop. And the fact that Takiaho has beaten him to that spot, you know, says a lot about, I think, where they consider him and the depth. So, and also, I guess that means that he's going to be kicking goals for at least 50 minutes of the game, which is a positive. So, I certainly, you know, a couple of weeks ago would have thought that their starting front row would have been Warrior Hargraves and Dylan Upper for sure. Wouldn't have expected Takiaho to be in there.
Yeah, I think the goal kicking is interesting. Obviously, he's not a sharp shooter by any means, but it's going to boost his, you know, you would imagine his average by about 6 points. He is a winner, but yeah, it's interesting that Knapp is the one that made way on the bench, given that he's proven he can play big minutes and is a young up-and-coming Origin player. And Warrior Hargraves there, you know, gets a start over him. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about TKO. He's awkwardly priced, but his ownership has risen off the back of TLT. So I guess you've got to call him a winner from those respects. Mark Nichols is another obvious one. I did rate him as a two Pahlavi cheapie, and that's just given that, you know, Seibold, new coach at South, so there's always a bit of roster fluctuation in the opening weeks when a new coach takes over, but he was reasonably impressive in the trials, but not a lot of super coach output. He's kind of a slow and steady type, but I would suggest that he should be in most teams, with Tavita Totola, almost the definition of a three Pahlavi player, just coming from the clouds to probably get 10 minutes off the bench for a few weeks. Totola doesn't interest you guys, does he?
No, not for me. I'm assuming that Nick is, well, actually, he's probably, you know, one of the players he'd likely pick up.
Yeah, look, I've got him starting at prop in my side. I think he's just set for a really big season.
Hey, Joe, on the Pahlavi scale, where would you put Nick?
Well, I was just thinking, as a glue guy, mate, you must have been a horse in a previous life because you've gone to the glue factory. This is, Totola shouldn't be in anyone's side, as tempting as that 160K price is. Tell you who has tempted me, though, and I think he's starting to round into a few people's side, is Tanganoa from Manly, or the Block of Units, apparently his nickname is. He's obviously was highly rated at the Cowboys, but had a bit of an attitude issue and was at the Eels temporarily, but is at Manly, and he seems to be the only middle forward on the bench, even though, you know, Frank Winterstein, I'm sure they can roll him in the middle for a few minutes as well. With Fanua Blake there not being a high-minute player, I think Tanganoa almost – he feels like he's good for around 40 minutes by my scale. I might be way off, but he's a lock in my side as one of my cheapies. He interests you guys?
Nick?
Hell no. You've lost the plot, mate. Mate, you'll have to get him away from Sangster, who I think is going to have him locked up in the basement at his house. He loves him that much. But, mate,
good taste, Tommy.
No way. Mate, he's out of that side in a couple of weeks, I reckon. He's played on and off for the last 3 or 4 years, done nothing, going nowhere.
Well, he was the baby Tamalolo at the Cowboys,
and that's what they hyped him up to be. Yeah, exactly. They hyped him up to be that, but he didn't perform.
I was going to say that I agree with what you've said, Nick. I also agree with what Joe said, though, and that's the issue. Is there's a complete lack of depth of good cheapies this year, and you know, beggars can't be choosers, really, unfortunately. So. Do you run with him or do you run with Aleilua, who's also on the bench? I mean, we need to find these cheapies and we need to lock them in and hopefully take some risks, and one or two of them will come off. But I've got him in my side purely because I need cheapies and I refuse to go the mid-range option.
Fair enough. They've all got warts. So, Joe, who do you have ahead out of Tanganoa and Aleilua?
Oh, definitely Tanganoa. Leilua's an edge player. Sims can play 80 minutes and Frizz is a red. Yeah, he can play 80 and he has before. And Frizzell, you know, usually is good for 60 plus. So I don't think Leilua is going to get the minutes to make him, you know, even above base price, he could be averaging 15 off the bench. So I tell you who I absolutely won't be having is that's Liggy Sow. I think about 5 years ago,
Tarek Sims, average minutes per game last two seasons, 52 and 61.
Oh yeah, but he's rotating off the bench and
wait. Stop the press.
Yeah.
Did Nick just fact check?
Well, he tried to. I was trying to say historically when he was at the Cowboys playing edge, he played 80 minutes quite regularly as well. So when he's playing middle, obviously he's not 80 minutes, but I'm happy to stand corrected with old fake news here.
I'll stake bet you that Leilua averages more than Tanganoa through the first 4 weeks.
I think we've booked in Cha Cha Cha, haven't we, Josh? For Nick shouting us with a few of these stake bets, I'm happy to take that.
I'm still waiting for him to pay up on last year, mate. So maybe we might need to start at the Caxton on a Tuesday night, $2 stake to get him there.
Mate, deal. I think Trent Copeland's forgotten the fact that you owe him one as well, mate. He's next time he's up in Brisbane after a Shield game, I'm sure he's going to tap on the Kirkup family front door and ask for his steak.
So, what about the next one's kind of dividing opinion and in between us, Robbie Rocco. We've all got burnt by him in the past, but he has played 50 to 60 minutes as well. In those years, and I think maybe the expectations were far and above what he could ever deliver. But, you know, priced at the mid-20s and starting on the edge for the Tigers, generally, like in any other or like normal situation, I think that would scream buy me. But who knows what's happening at the Tigers. And then we've also just seen him not deliver in the last 2 years as well.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this today. He's like an older... Mataudia from last year, where he's just that awkward-ish price, although he's a little cheaper, and you just don't know what the ceiling is. You're just hitting and hoping. Mataudia, obviously younger with a bit more potential, but ultimately was a massive disappointment last year for people who started with him in round one, like me. I just don't see that with any West Tiger has any job security at all. So, you know, it could be Chris McQueen in that spot next week, and Rocco might not even be in the 17. So find it very hard to, you know, just given what's happened with Milne, Nofaluma, Lola here was in, then he was out, Thompson fullback wing, all the different lineup changes, picking a Tiger from round one, because I just want to see the side settled first. You don't have any Tigers, do you, Nick?
No, I don't think I have any Tigers in my side at all. No, not one.
Very nice. We kind of glossed over Liggy Sow a bit. I was just saying that about 5 years ago, I owned him when he was at Manly as a cheapie. And I think he scored me 7 points in one game. And I'm not sure that he's played first grade since. So I know he's got the 13 jersey, the let's call it the Pallavi jersey for the Warriors. And that scares the hell out of me, because whether it's Ben Henry, Isaiah Papali, Carlos Tuimavave, you know, or Liggy Sow, the Warriors have just an awful round one cheapie record. So Josh, he's in your latest version, isn't he?
Oh yeah, which version, mate? I think I'm going through about 30 today. So no, I don't know enough about him. I don't know enough about the Warriors, and he was a surprise inclusion. I mean, the injury to Mannering wasn't known. He could be out for any period of time as well. It's unusual that you know, that was kept pretty quiet. So I don't know, but you made a comment today as well that Parsi is expected back either next week or the week after. And could that see Sow just drop straight out of the 17?
Yeah, every chance of that as well. So, you know, Parsi obviously was headhunted from the Titans, and he had periods where he did really well for the Titans, although he's inconsistent. But, yeah, I would say his pedigree is clearly better than Sow, so I'd have him. You know, ahead of him in the pecking order as well. So there's a good chance that if you start with Sow, he might not even make it to week three to get that first price rise.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's, unless there's any more good or, you know, positives coming out of the teams that we need to discuss, you can move straight on to the bad. And I guess the first two that we've got listed here is Simon Mannering and David Nofaluma. So two guns, you know, two pods as well. So I think that probably, if anything, is good, because it makes some really difficult, you know, decisions very easy.
Yeah, it's you know, Manners, obviously, it's unfortunate. Nofaluma, I think it peeled back the curtain on exactly what kind of job Ivan Cleary's got there in terms of culture change. You know, at the Tigers, they're dropping what's effectively his best player, I think, you know, to reserve grade at least for the week. I mean, it also speaks to how bad centre wing is as well, is that, you know, even though he's one of the premium options playing for a terrible side, you know, people don't seem to be kind of screaming, you know, what to do with Nofaluma, kind of other options, because there isn't a lot at that premium range. Matt, I know you're a Warriors fan, Nick. Do you think that, you know, he'll come back all right?
Yeah, he should be right. Yeah, I mean, I had him in my team early on in the preseason. Obviously dropped him, you know, about a week ago once this sort of news came out. But he shouldn't be out for too long. I don't think, I'd say, you know, he might play round two or round three. So obviously makes Liggy Sow and Papali big risks there for the Warriors. But Mannering hopefully has a bit of a slow start. You know, round seven or eight, he's dropped 50 to 100K, and then we can all snap him up.
Yeah, and obviously we spoke about Luciano Leilua, Josh. I guess when I was talking about the merits of him v. Tanganoa, do you have an opinion on that?
No, I've got both of them in my side. I'm just going to hopefully one of them, you know, becomes okay and earns some money. And yeah, I just really trying to go a rookie heavy strategy this year, just to, you know, mid price players have not proven to be correct for me, at least in the past few years. So I'm going to be avoiding them as much as possible, and then just, you know, hopefully these rookies can play, you know, a dozen or so games, and then, you know, we get some money out of them.
Yeah, and I know, as much as, you know, the three of us will be ragging on each other for our selections, it's the rookies, as you said before, it's a dart throw. I was trying to count up the breakdown of the one Pallavis, three Pallavis, two Pallavis in my team's analysis, and by far the majority were two Pallavis, which I guess I'm defining as risky, you know, with minimal job security, possible low minutes, or just not worth the price if they're above the base. So it's probably not a bad option, just having as many tickets to the lottery as you can on your bench, and so, you know, knowing that some of them are going to bust, and you're going to have to trade them out.
And speaking about a bust, mate, and a mid-price example, Cameron Murray, who was in everybody's team probably about a month ago, he finds his way onto the bench at number 14 for the Rabbitohs. And, you know, there's some rumours swirling around that he'll either come on to replace Cook at hooker or spend some time at lock, who knows. But he, for me, is definitely a stay away, particularly the price of close to $400,000.
People were talking, there was about four different people speculated to be the backup hooker or the bench hooker for South, and I'm pretty sure absolutely no one had Cameron Murray rotating, you know, replacing Damien Cook. I'm not sure what that means for minutes, and it actually makes me a little bit worried about what happens with Sam Burgess. Does he go to the edge when Murray comes on? Because I know that that was kind of used as a bit of a pseudo rest mechanism, you know, by Maguire last year to have Sergis run out wide, and kind of his work rate plummeted a bit. So scared me a bit off Sam Burgess, ironically, more than it has Cameron Murray.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Okay, so then continuing on, so we can get on to the main part of the podcast, but Tane Milne, who also is extremely popular, we can't really go near him at the moment. You know, looks beyond the outer at the Tigers. And the next guy who is just floating around the edges of the Dragons probably needs some injuries in the back line to get in, Zach Lomax. So he starts, I think, almost 30,000 less than Milne. So I can't recall a year yet that I've had a non-playing reserve in my side, but given the lack of depth in rookies this year, I'm seriously considering doing with that with Lomax. What about yourself, Nick? Are you sticking to they must be picked in round one, you know, strategy, or do you have some leeway for a couple of these guys that might play in a few weeks but aren't selected now?
Yeah, I think for mine, it's just that last centre wing rookie position, that seventh spot, that's a bit difficult to fill. So I've got Lomax at the moment. So look, I'll probably sit with him. Milne, like Joe said at the start, who knows what's happening at the Tigers. And then the boys on Sangster's pod made a great point today, actually, with regards to the captain loophole. And the point was that the Eels play in the final three games of the week, each of the first nine rounds. So another option, if you're not too concerned about that last position, is Lulu Siao or something like that. He's available at centre wing for Para. He's injured at the moment, according to the boys. He should be back in a couple of weeks. He's a potential to play later in the year, and he could really open up that vice-captain loophole for you for the first couple of months, at least, of the season. So I'm not too worried about throwing away that last centre wing position, as long as it's someone who has the potential at least to play at some stage.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah, and interesting. It speaks to really the philosophy for Supercoach this year. I think that the kind of elimination of the buy planning as a major factor for Supercoach is going to mean some strategic changes. And I take your point, Nick, as that being viable. But I tend to come down on the side of cash generation is absolutely going to be king, even more than it is in other years, because people aren't kind of looking at only picking players from certain teams because of buy coverage. So they'll just pick the best players in each position, certainly from a cash point of view. So I think that from my perspective, you need to have 25 players, because I don't think any of these guys we're talking about are a Kalen Ponga quality, whether it's Lomax or the amazing name that I'd love to hear you try and pronounce again, that bloke from the Eels. and, you know, these guys could you know, Lomax is at least two injuries away. God knows how many injuries might need to happen for the Eels guy to get a run. It could be round 15 or it could not be at all. It could be another Brad Abbey situation from 2 years ago where, you know, at the Bulldogs he was absolutely, you know, nailed on to come in, you know, round two, round three, round four, and he never got a run the whole year. So I just think that's too valuable, even though he will be a 25th player. You know, that 100K or whatever you could have banked there, you know, might be the difference between a gun or not later on.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think we've done teams to death, both on the sides and just then. So we might leave it there and just take a quick ad break, and then we'll jump straight into our team reviews. And, you know, that's going to be a bit of fun. So we'll be right back.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so it's the moment that I think we've been waiting for. Not sure about everybody else there, but the time which we can reveal, you know, some kind of resemblance to what our side might look like come lockout tomorrow. And the first cab off the rank is going to be Nick. But before we do that, just outline as to how we're going to run through that. Bit of fun, bit of banter as well. But you know, jumping through each other's teams, whoever's team it is, we'll just briefly talk about their overall strategy and how they've approached team selection this year. And then also they'll just name a couple of players that fit into the following categories. So the first one is the Steve Smith. So that's the first pick player in the side. The next one is the blind date. The blind date is the one that's, you know, risk reward. You don't know what you're going to get. Could be the best night of your life. It could be the worst. The second one is captain hindsight. So that's that one player that you know, or, you know, that you've been tracking, and you don't pick them, and then they come out and smash it for the first month, and then you're just thinking, I really should have picked that player. And we'll just run through that, and then what we'll do is each of us will just critique each other's side. As we said, a bit of fun. Should we just get straight into it then with Nick? And how about you just jump in, mate? What was your overall strategy with your well, currently, what is the making up of your side?
Just win, baby.
That's it.
That's the depth of your strategy, ladies and gentlemen, the glue guy.
My strategy is, guns and rookies, the usual, really, to be honest. Like you said earlier, I'm not too keen on too many mid prices. It's a little bit hard to differentiate exactly what is a mid pricer this year, but I've only got, you know, I've got a couple of players in the 400,000s. I've only actually got three players in the 400,000s, and I've got no one in the 300,000s. So I'm trying to go 500 plus or 300 or under. Oh, sorry, I do have Damien Cook. He's my one 378K player there. But yeah, guns and rookies, the usual. Nothing too groundbreaking there. So my Ross Taylor award for first picked is. It's Cameron Smith and the two turbos. So I've cheated a little bit here and taken three, but Smithy's a no-brainer, and I think the turbos are in for a huge year. Jake to do some more ball playing this year, and Tom to just continue on where he left off last year. So I think those three will be in the top five players this year.
So Nick, just so before you're just saying Jake Trbojevic, and you know, obviously he's been looking the goods in the preseason, but why would you select him over Paul Gallen? Not saying it's the wrong decision, but just keen to get your take on it, particularly because they're so close in value.
I think for mine, I just maybe Trbojevic will play more minutes. Look, yeah, Gallen's PPM is probably better. I don't know. I just think Trbojevic might have a little bit of upside maybe. You know, maybe he can increase his average by 3 or 4 points, and maybe Gallen is more likely to replicate what he did last year, or maybe drop 1 or 2 points coming towards the end of his career. That may be correct. That may be incorrect. Who knows? But that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. And your blind date?
Jared Hayne, unfortunately. I'm sticking with him. I know Sangster's gone soft and jumped off, but he's only priced at a 47 average. So surely he can average at least 55 to 60. If he gives, you know, gives half a shit, basically, he will increase in price. So I'm sticking with him. Captain Hindsight has to be Kalyn Ponga. I think he could potentially be Tedesco, but just 180K cheaper. I'm going to stick with the Teddy Turbo combo, but yeah, Ponga would be the one who I think, I just wish he was available at center wing. If he was available center wing, he'd be one of my first picked, but can't fit him in, unfortunately.
All right. So how about you just run through your team as it stands, or some of the key players anyway inside, because all of us are going to have pretty much similar rookies. Maybe if you just jump through, you know, come a few of those point of difference players or the guns that you've currently got in your lineup.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like you say, I've got all the usual rookies. I've gone the Smithy Cook combo at hooker. I've got Fifita starting in the front row. I know that he starts a bit slow, but I just like him. Like having him on my side. Happy to keep him in there for the whole season. Trbojevic, Nathan Brown, Merrin starting back row. Mitch Moses in at 5'8". He's probably getting more popular by the day, so it's not really a pod selection anymore. Same can be said for Latrell Mitchell, I think, who's in my centre wing alongside Hayne and the usual suspects. And, yeah, and like I said, Trbojevic and Teddy at the back. So I think it's a pretty – there's not a lot of pods in there, to be honest, but I'm just hoping to get off to a half-decent start and then – maybe I can make a move with some smarter trading throughout the year. But, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult these days with all the coverage out there with Supercoach. It's hard to choose someone who's a little bit different because before you know it, every man and his dog's on him.
So I think there's been a bit of work done in the off-season, Nick, about trying to, you know, improve your personal brand. You know, rumour has it that that there's even been a change to the team name as well. You know, just the old party liaisons didn't really perform too well in 2016, 2017. It appears there's been some new ownership come through, clearing out all the deadwood and reverting back to Nick's Boys. Are the rumours true?
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Started as Nick's Boys back in the day when we first started playing, which must have been, I think it was 07 or 08. Ran with Nick's Boys for a few years, you know, never did any good, changed to part of the liaisons, never did any good, and I've gone back to Nick's Boys.
It was that, you know, Party Liaisons is the kind of name that you pick for the year that movie came out and then you pick something else the next year, but I was kind of admiring the fact that you were sticking with it, mate.
Yeah, I know, nah. It was a good movie, great movie, but back to Nick's Boys and we'll see how we go.
Hey, Joe, I've got three names for you and I want you to let me know what you think about them. Mitch Barnett, 2017 variety, Matt Pryor and Isaac Luke.
Yeah, so, I mean, Matt Pryor, mate, when you say the name Matt Pryor, I've probably watched Matt Pryor play 100 first grade games, but as soon as you say the name Matt Pryor, Nick's face comes to mind because, you know, he was just Nick was going to die in the ditch with Matt Pryor to start with. And I found that absolutely bloody hilarious because, you know, that turned out about as well as you'd expect. What were the other ones, mate?
Isaac Luke over Cameron Smith.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Luke went nowhere, didn't he? Flattered to deceive. He's got a few of us over the years, but I know the year that Nick was dead set on Luke as being bigger than Cameron Smith, he probably finished about 25 points in arrears, you know, of what CS9 did. So, yeah, not working out for Nick, whether he's the party liaisons or Nick's Boys.
And, you know, I was just thinking about this today when I was having a look at some stats, but you know that Nick and Jared Hayne have something in common? Do you know what that is, Joe?
What's I had no idea. Tell me.
So they were both relevant for Supercoach in 2014.
Is that the one year Nick beat you, mate? Because I think it's one out of nine or one out of ten, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
2016 was my best year. I finished just outside the top 1,000, but I peaked at 57. I was in the top 100 for 5 weeks in a row.
Wow, that's Nick's second fact check of the night.
Actually, you those stats are strikingly familiar to Jesse Bromwich. You haven't really done anything since round 16 in 2016.
No, Jesse Bromwich. I'm glad to see Jode finally come to his senses and doesn't have him in his side as well, which is good to see.
Well, before we
before
we get to Jode,
that's what you call a tease, boys. That's what you call a tease,
or even a segue. But before we do that, maybe if we can just Joe, how about you just provide a little bit of critique about Nick's side? What do you like about it? What do you think that he can do better over the next 24 hours?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we've had a bit of groupthink. You know, I referenced the fact that we've probably had it feels like a couple of thousand messages back and forth over the last couple of days. So, you know, we've all kind of settled on similar-ish rookies and, I think, Josh, your team is a bit of a hybrid between Nick's and mine, but I am not a fan of a few of them. Leilua, for obvious reasons, we talked about earlier. Lomax, you know, I mentioned he's, you know, at least two injuries away from the Dragons. You know, they like Kurt Mann enough to put him in the 17 there. So I can't see Lomax, getting a run early. And there's obviously that risk he doesn't run it at all. And I just think, you know, for mine, the Tommy Turbo Tedesco dual fullback thing, obviously it maximises your points. But I think Kalen Ponga will be the guy that Nick regrets, as he said before, because I think Ponga will get close enough to Turbo anyway, and make, you know, so much extra money that, you know, he could be a bit short in team value in the end. So they'd be my bigger ones. I mean, I'm not going to pick too much on Hayne because I think, you know, Hayne's a bit of a joke at this point. I can't even see. He may not even make any money at all. So, you know, completely mediocre for 420, and not a big Latrell Mitchell fan either. I don't know what you think about him, Josh.
Yeah, no, I think it's been pretty clear throughout anything that I've written this season that I'm not a fan of Latrell Mitchell. Well, in his last trial match, I think he produced 4 runs and 7 tackles, and then he had all those attacking stats to beef him up there. So I'm more than happy to see him inside such as Nick's and then not in mine. I'm quite happy with that. I mean, the rest of the side looks, you know, I can't critique too much of it, and it's good to see some differing opinions. I mean, I kind of agree to an extent to what you're saying with Hayne, but I legitimately think the Eels are going to be a really good side this year. So Hayne could be one of the key benefactors there, and who knows what it does, you know, being back at the Eels. It is a real flip of the coin decision for me. I'm more than happy to go the Trbojevic-Tedesco combination. That's just another trade I don't have to make, and hopefully some banking those early points as well. For Fitzer, I really like that selection, and I know in the team reveal that we're going to talk through on mine, I do have Burgess in there, but Fitzer has creeped back into my side after I have looked at some stats. So I think last year he only scored one try compared to eight combined in the 2 years before that. So plenty of upside for him. And if you look at where he's priced, he's priced around about a Nathan Brown as well, which I, compared to what else is floating around in the front row, there's nothing there. So, you know, on the scheme of things, I think you've done pretty well there, Nick.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Nick's boys are back.
Wouldn't go that far, mate. Wouldn't go that far. All right, well, Joe, how about we move on to your side, mate? Take it away.
Yeah, so I talked a bit about the overall strategy before, that I do think it's very much about cash generation. You know, I think as long as you're within, you know, shouting distance, of the lead kind of at the turn, which is, you know, at the end of the Origin period, you're in with a shot. And I think you can sacrifice a few early points here and there in the interest of cash generation position. And I know it's pro rata, up to $9.4 million for the salary cap means that, you know, the people, the guys that are priced cheaper do make a lot more money. And I understand it's all relative, but when you start kind of trying to find, you know, $100 here, $200 there to afford those, you know, little extra guys, you know, the fact that the salary cap's blown out a bit will make that a bit easier. And yeah, I, you know, it's the reason why I've gone Ponga over Tommy Turbo, because he's, you know, more than 200 grand cheaper, and I think he can make most of that 200 grand up, whereas, you know, Trbojevic's value has nowhere to go. You know, he might maintain that average, and he might be the highest scoring super coach, but your team value is not going up. So just given the uncertainty with the rookies, you know, it's a dart throw. Some will hit, some will miss. If you miss on more, you know, rookies than you hit, well, then how the hell are you going to make enough money to be competitive, you know, down the home stretch? So definitely my overall strategy is to make sure you've got, you know, lots of money in the bank and you've got an eye on that. My Steve Smith, you know, was my first pick. Obviously, Cam Smith was locked in there. But apart from him, I'll say Teddy. You know, I think it's pretty frightening what he might be able to do, you know, with better support at the Roosters. And, you know, we all complained about how unlucky he was last year at the Tigers with, you know, a ridiculous amount of disallowed tries and, you know, try assists and things like that. So, you know, he could have averaged easily kind of 8 to 10 points more a game, you know, if a lot of that was factored in. So add to the fact that he's at the Roosters, I think he's my tip to finish as the top super coach player for the year. The blind date, you know, got a few two Pallavis in the team, but I don't think you can, you know, really count them. So I reckon my riskiest pick's probably JT. You know, if he wasn't at the hefty discount that he is, I would absolutely not consider him for my team. He'd be miles away. And I guess the reason for that is that, you know, you see it with all kind of aging champions, be that, you know, they, as they get older, they don't dominate every minute of the game. They pick their spots, you know, and conserve their energy. And I think that's probably good news for the Cowboys. But a game-winning you know, try assist or a game-winning field goal scores exactly the same amount of points as doing it in the first minute or the 10th minute or the 30th minute. So, you know, Supercoach is a volume game, and the fact that he's going to defer to Michael Morgan a hell of a lot more, you know, deliberately means that that's going to impact his price. So, yes, if you didn't have that hefty discount because of the injury, I wouldn't have JT around. And Captain Hindsight, probably have to be Tommy Turbo. You know, if he goes up another gear, then good luck to owners. But also, you know, we mentioned Jesse Bromwich before. I think he can, he will bounce back. And for money reasons, I've gone Matt Scott over Jesse Bromwich. But, you know, I would definitely have regrets if Jay Brom got off to a flyer.
Well, it's quite interesting about Matt Scott. He is undervalued, but, you know, I know that you've been harping on the, you know, Mansour being okay because it, you know, takes a while for a player to recover from an ACL. Do you think that Scott's going to be good to go from round one, or will he take a while to warm up?
Yeah, that's a very valid point. But I think the fact that he was fully fit, you know, in the Cowboys, you know, run to the grand final, and Paul Green chose not to pick him because he wanted to stay, you know, fat with the side that got to the grand final. You know, the fact that he was medically cleared, he was ready to go, which means he's had that full off season. It's not like he's, you know, doing rehab, you know, in December and January in the lead up to the trials. He's been full bore. So it's a bit different when you're Mansour and you know what you want, you need to do, you know, on the wing. I don't think Matt Scott even, you know, needs much of, you know, many ligaments in his knees to do what he does, you know, just cut the ball forward. So traditionally he's a 50 average player. He's priced at just under 40. So, you know, even if it's only an 8-point rise, that's going to be enough for me because that's the cash I need to upgrade.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And then you've gone very heavy in the second row. You've got Gallen, Trbojevic and Merrin there. You know, that's pretty heavy. A lot of cash has been spent, but I guess with the money you're saving at fullback, that allows you to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think Merrin's a really great value pick. I know I've criticised both in the team's analysis and elsewhere the kind of media narrative around Latrell Mitchell dropping some weight, taking it seriously. He finally gets it. I tend to laugh at that a little bit, but I do actually believe it when it comes to Merrin. He's always carried a bit of extra weight. He's looking fighting fit. I think there was reports that he actually ab muscles now instead of the beer belly, and 5'18", I think he's good value given that the Panthers bench is much more inexperienced this year than in previous. Jake Trbojevic, the only worry is that I don't want him turning into James Graham, doing that passing before the line, trying to be a creative force. I think he's still good for 650k and obviously Gallon there, so I think second row is stacked. I think front row four have better cheapies, and I'm not a big fan of as really the only premium gun in the front row apart from Burgess. So that's what I'm really trying to get my points and I'll get my value my value and my cash generation elsewhere.
Yeah, right. And I think when I look at your side, I guess the main critique that I have is probably just the amount of mid prices in your center wing. So you've got Croker,
far too many. Yeah, far too many.
Mansour and BJ Leilua. While I don't disagree with any of them, I think that potentially you're spending a bit too much cash there. And just say if you were to downgrade one to someone else, then you could look to upgrade a Matt Scott to a legitimate gun, and I think that would strengthen your side because there's still plenty of question marks around all three of those players.
Yeah, and look, full disclosure, centre wing I think is the worst positional group that I've ever seen in my many years playing Supercoach. I don't actually really like anyone in centre wing at all. So it's begrudging that I've even gone Croker and Mansour and Leilua because they're all potentially flawed in their own way. But I think once you get outside of Richie Kenner, Katoa, they're both one Pahlavi cheapies. Peter Hicku the same, and taking a slight risk on Asako there. You don't have any other options in cheapies, and I guess that's why Zach Lomax is picked by a lot of people because there just really isn't much in the way of options. So yeah, I have decided to invest a bit in the center wing there, but I think Croker, historically, I think he's valued at 55 average. While that might be almost 20 points less than he was a couple of years ago, history would suggest he's 5 to 10 points underpriced. Mansour 5 to 10 points underpriced, and Joey Leilua at 46 for an average. I don't expect that he's going to rebound to the 70-point year that he had a couple of years ago, but I do expect 55 plus, and I'll pocket that 150 to 180 grand quite nicely before I look to upgrade to a true gun.
Yeah, agree. Nick, what about you, mate? Do you have any key, pointers or suggestions for Joe's team apart from being quite heavy with the mid prices in the centre wing?
No, I think just the mid prices and the Matt Scott. Like, mate, what's your plan with Matt Scott? So he's priced at 39. Let's say he averages 50. He's going to go up 96K. So he's going to be like 440. So he's never going to be a keeper. What I suppose the plan is, you hope he gets to 440 and then you can upgrade him to Fifita or someone like that.
Yeah, that's right. So, Fifita, obviously, the hope is he continues. It's just, his slow starts. Kind of there, but by the time Scott kind of fattens up properly, I've got the likes of Hicku. I'll probably keep Ponga for a little while longer, but I'll be looking to go probably one up, one down to fund that extra bit of money that it'll take to go from Scott to Fifita. It's usually kind of in the lead up to the Origin period that Fifita really gets going and has that potential to start cracking out consistent tons as he's seen, and as soon as Fifita gets that look in his eye and maybe goes large once, that's the spot of his, and that's to Cole Matt Scott.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Now that makes sense.
All right, well, are you guys ready for the best team?
Wilfred coming on the pod now?
No, Wilfred's been
Wilfred, how's it going, mate? Good.
Very secret squirrel with his side. I think we've shared our teams on numerous occasions, but he has been very secretive with his. So we'll see what happens then. And he didn't want to join the podcast today. It's all a bit serious for Wilfred, but that's okay. That's all right. We're happy to share our sides and talk amongst friends, but that's all right, Wilfred. It's all right. Anyway, so my overall strategy is to go hard early. I just think without the buyers, you need to try and get a head start and get as many, gun players in that have a legitimate, a legitimate good start to the season. So that's why I've spent big on Teddy and Turbo, combination of fullback, also Smith and Cook. That is something as well that's, it only hit me this week after Teamless Tuesday, so it's been battling with that. But then also just investing in my centre wing with Jordan Rapana and Leilua as well. With the Raiders having such a soft draw early on, I really want to capitalise on that. So Croker would be ahead of Leilua for me, but just that extra 70K could be better spent elsewhere. And I think that's pretty much it from an overall strategy. And I think, it is just also battling the lack of cheapies and trying to pick, what you can with lots of two Pallavis and three Pallavis floating around. So moving on, so my Steve Smith, so as Joe said, Cameron Smith is the first pick, but, that's too easy. So I'm going to go against you and say Jonathan Thurston. He was definitely my first pick, and he is every single year. At the price, it's phenomenal, and we're never going to have value like that in him. And I do not believe any of the news that's coming out at the moment. I think that's all smoke and mirrors. I reckon he'll be the main man. Cowboys are going to go so close to winning the flag this year. And if they do, JT's not going to be standing in the background and go, here you go, Michael, go and do what you want to do. That's just not the kind of player he is. So I don't believe it at all. JT's going to be the main man, kicking goals, scoring 70s and 100s, boom. You're getting him for, 536K, which is ridiculous. So he was the first player picked. My blind date, well, this is an interesting one. I mean, any good blind date would end with a BJ, right, guys?
Agree.
Yes, indeed.
So my blind date is no other than BJ Leilua. So I've been tempted by him all preseason, and I've just said, bugger it, I'm going to go with him. I've had Tupou in there, but that extra 90,000 or 85,000-ish can be better spent elsewhere covering, particularly covering up for the fact that I can't start Havili and need to start Cook now. And I really like what's happening at Canberra. I think they've been very quiet this preseason. They didn't take part in the latest trials. Ricky Stewart's running a very different operation. They've got a different fitness regime happening. BJ's lost weight. I wouldn't be surprised if they get out or come out and start the season with, 4 out of 5 wins or 5 out of 6 wins. So I'm backing him to do that, and then hopefully BJ. I mean, I know you've got him, Joe. Is that the similar kind of thinking that you just hopefully capitalise on their early run and look to upgrade him before he hits a bit of bad form?
Yeah, there's a bit of that, but I mean, let's not kind of disguise the influence that just naked greed can have. He's in a contract year, and given how poor he was last year, he's really got to pull his finger out this year and establish he's a premium center in the comp to demand the kind of money that I'm sure he wants. So, just given he does have that reputation as having a poor attitude, he certainly didn't leave Newcastle on good terms. I'm not sure that he'd be seen as that appealing a prospect if he put another mediocre season in, and that can be the difference between, 350 grand a year. So it's absolutely in his best interest to slim down as he has and knuckle down and have the kind of year that he did 2 years ago. So it's really just the greed aspect that I'm kind of banking on. But that being said, I think Canberra does have that soft draw, particularly the Titans in round one. So hoping BJ gets back to the keeper zone, but regardless, I think he's going to make money. So if he kind of tops out at a 55 average, then that should get you enough money to bridge to a true gun.
Yeah, and if you I'm still staggered going back at last year and seeing how well Rapana did, and then you compare it to what the output of BJ was. I mean, considering he's standing just inside him, you'd think that try assists would be flying everywhere, but they weren't. So that really just, you know, shows how good a year Rapana did have. And, you know, if that edge is going to be potent this year, which we all hope it is, then, you know, I can see Rapana with Leilua, you know, doing well. But there are also lots of question marks at the Raiders this year without Hodgson, and also their halves look a complete mess as well. But we'll see. Captain hindsight for me. So both of the Roosters backs are going to be there. So Daniel Tupou and Latrell Mitchell. So Tupou is a guy that I've had in my side the whole year. Big fan of his, but just, you know, with the Cook over Havili position, just can't afford that 506,000 sitting in my centre wing. And then Latrell Mitchell scares the crap out of me for all the reasons that I've said not to pick him. You know, he could really just turn it on and come out and for 6 weeks just be unstoppable. And given how high his ownership is, if you don't have him, I think it's really going to hurt. So I'm very scared about Mitchell and hoping that, you know, what I believe is going to happen will happen. So what about you guys? I know, Nick, you've got Mitchell. Joe, you don't. Nick, are you confident that he's just going to fly out, or is it really, you know, are you a bit nervous about the selection?
Yeah, no, a bit of a stab in the dark, isn't it? Given his attitude on the field, you know, last couple of years, obviously, you know, gives off that appearance of being a lazy player. So it's really just the fact that the Roosters should be a strong side this year, and hopefully that translates to points for Mitchell. But yeah, I'm not 100% confident, no way.
Yeah, okay.
You're right, Josh, though. Sorry, just to interrupt. You know, Mitchell can absolutely have six big weeks. The problem is those 6 weeks will happen over 12 weeks, you know, because you'll go 80-20, 80-20, 80-20. I just can't see that the consistency is there. And I know modern footy's moved away from, you know, a centre being a workhorse. So, you know, base stats, you know, for centres aren't quite proportionately what they were even just a few years ago. But, you know, Mitchell's that ultimate kind of luxury player. If he's firing, he'll go large. But, you know, without those attacking stats, I just don't see, you know, him even maintaining his value.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the base stats, I hear what you're saying, but if Tupou is producing 27 to 30 base points per game, and then Mitchell's only producing you 17 to 20, which is what he did last year, then, you know, that's just a recipe for disaster, really. And it's amazing that one's a centre and one's a winger, yet the winger has the higher base. So that's what I found it very interesting in terms of their ownership differentials. But, yeah, both of those guys, considering what the Roosters should be very good, and they also do have a nice early draw as well. So that's kind of a summary of mine, just to work through who I've got in the side. Is Cameron Smith, you know, like everyone, Damien Cook. Got Sam Burgess in there at the moment in my front row, and the reason why I put him in there initially was due to the dual position. I also only think there's really two legitimate guns in the front row, and that's between him and Fifita. So two out of three of us have gone that way, with Joe looking to take the cheaper option. And then I've got Gallen, Merrin and Brown in the second row. Listen, I hear what you, and we'll, when our post comes out, we'll hear Joe's, you know, the way he feels about Brown. But I effectively see a Paul Gallen there for less than 100K. He had reduced minutes over the first six games of the season last year, and I think he'll play 70 minutes per game this year and you know, produce Gallen-like numbers. Well, that's what I'm banking on anyway. Moses, here's a late addition, and it's just a value. 450K versus Cody Walker's, you know, low 500s. It's purely just to get Cookie and over Havili. Both players, I think, will go close to averaging very similar scores. We've spoken through Rapana and Leilua, and then I've got Trbojevic and Tedesco, so pretty much stock standard with those two, and then have $17,000 in cap. So, boys, what do you think?
Nick?
Burgess, mate, that's bad choice. Not touching Burgess this year. I've had enough of him, done with him. I think I mentioned it on the pod earlier in the season that Joe and I did. No Burgess for me, but aside from that, yeah, looks pretty good, mate, looks pretty good. That Rapana just looks so appealing in there. He looks so good. To get him, I would need to go Tedesco down to Ponga, and I could trade Hayne up to Rapana. That's tempting. That might get me at some stage tomorrow, I think. But no, looks pretty good, mate. Well done.
Yeah, Burgess, I think just to, you know, to emphasise what you're saying, Nick, I know he's only 30, but he's got that physical game. I mean, he's had the crap beaten out of him for the best part of 80 minutes, you know, for 10 years. And I thought last year he did actually look off the pace. It wasn't just a down year kind of statistically, you know, as far as the eye test went. He just didn't seem the same kind of dynamic player that he was. He wasn't offloading the same way. People weren't bumping off him when he did hit ups in the same way. And again, you know, you saw a propensity for Maguire to give him, you know, 10 minutes here and there on an edge, which is effectively taking a breather. So to your point, Josh, I can't, overemphasize how important dual position players will be. So I totally get your point there from a tactical point of view. But, I just really worried that Burgess has kind of got so many miles on his legs that you know, maybe 65 is the absolute ceiling we'll see from him from now on.
Yeah, listen, I think I wrote this in my front row forward preview, but last year was a disappointing year for Burgess, and I think everyone will admit that, yet he still averaged 65. And if you look at, the depth in the front row forwards, particularly with the lack of dual positions, if you've got a guy that you can lock in 65 points per week in your front row, I mean, you're just taking that, aren't you? Particularly at 570K. I mean, the only other guy at all that I can see doing that is a Fifita, and historically, Fifita started off slower than what he's produced later on, but you know, he still starts with an average over 60. I think he averaged 61 points per game, rounds 1 to 10 last year. And you know, with who else we've got to pick from, with the likes of a Gallon and a Brown and a Merrin all being only in the second row, I mean, you just lock that in too. So both of those, I couldn't dispute either selections. Is there anyone else that we're not looking at from a front row perspective, guys? And Nick, maybe I'll ask you, on that second bracket, who you think could get up to over the 60 and you know, actually become a legitimate gun in the front row?
Look, I don't really think so, to be honest. I've taken quite a hard look at front row because it is very difficult, like we've all been saying. You know, below Fifita and Burgess, you've got Woods, Maguire, Ryan James. Like, none of them jumps out to me. And then the next three blokes, Hess, Tolman and Eisenhuth, are all on the bench. Then you go to JWH, Finucan, Paulo, James Graham, Madalino. Like, it's just a wasteland. So I think one of either Burgess and Fifita plus three cheapies is the way to go.
Yeah, Joe, what about yourself?
Well, Nick, I think you didn't scroll down far enough, mate, because you missed the best prop in the game.
No, Jesse I stopped Bromwich. Before I got to him on purpose.
Jesse Bromwich, absolutely, he's got the pedigree, you know, to do that. So I know, you know, he could be my biggest regret there. But, you know, if he starts fast, you know, I think he could be anything as well this year. So Jesse Bromwich would be the obvious one to really jump. That would be a huge jump. Alternatively, you've got to look at, you know, as a bit of a smoky, if he gets minutes, that Cohen Hess can build on his great year last year. I think he's only 21. So, you know, he's still well off his peak and improving every year. So Hess could be someone to make the jump as well.
The other guy that I think, and I haven't had him in my side at any stage this season, but the only one there that stands out to me is probably Ben Madalino and how he fits in at the Tigers, because he could be the main man, 60-minute prop, and has his, you know, when he is given those minutes, he has produced, I think, around about 60 points per game previously. So he's the only one Woods is here and thereabouts. We saw what he did over the last couple of last, you know, 10 weeks of the season last year, but who knows what's going to happen at the Dogs, as you pointed out numerous times. So it is very tricky, and I'll end up going with either Burgess and Fifita or going super cheap. I don't think you can go middle of the ground with front row. So that's kind of where I'll land. What about, so Moses is a new selection for me, guys. I've had Cody Walker the whole time. What are your thoughts there?
Nick, is the Parramatta is your second side?
Yeah, Moses is way better than Walker. I don't know why you've had Walker in your team this whole preseason, but Moses has more upside behind a better pack. Definitely love it. Love it. Lock it in. Don't even think about it.
Do you want me to hit you with some facts as to why Walker was in my side, or are you all right without the facts?
No, I'm good.
I think we've established Nick's all right without the facts. Look, it's a, you know, the three of us play a bit NFL fantasy, and you know, there's the cliche of the running back who has a big second half of the year, gets overdrafted the year later and is a complete bust, and they, in the NFL there's a few of them every year. And I just think that, you know, Moses, while very impressive in the back half of last year, historically is a shockingly inconsistent player, even more than your Latrell Mitchells. I think 1 year, maybe 2 years ago with the Tigers, he had 119 late in the season, and then, you know, convinced a lot of people to bring him in. Some even captained him, and I think he scored 2 in 80 minutes, which shouldn't even be possible. But, I just wonder that the consistency is not there. You know, a short-term purple patch doesn't mean it's going to happen over the, you know, the duration of a season. So I would be waiting and seeing on Moses. But that being said, the potential's certainly there.
Yeah, potential's there, and I'm not changing. There's nowhere else, no one around that that price range. The only player that I was looking at slightly would be a Moses Mbai, but he's only available at halfback, and then you have to go the whole way down to a Connor Watson to get someone else in, really. So I've kind of avoided it. Before we end, Joe, we kind of glossed over Anthony Milford in your team, mate. So we've got a stake bet that says that, I think it's what he, I've said under 70, you've said over 70 across the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. And I really like the Broncos' early draw. Admittedly, it's 4 away and 2 at home. And Milford, while I think it's been a bit overblown, last year he did much better away at home than he has away. I just think he's a very young guy who's still, you know, some distance away from his peak. So I expect that he'll improve on last year. And, you know, he starts the year as clearly the dominant half for the Broncos, and I just think that there's more to give. His potential's limitless, so you know, he can be absolutely anything on his day, and I think he has eliminated that, you know, speaking of inconsistency at the 5/8 position, I don't think he has those 20-point games in him that, you know, 2 and 3 years ago he certainly had the potential to have. So he'll be more consistent. His bad games will be average games, and his good games will be, you know, triple figures. So, you know, I'm very comfortable with 70 over the average over the first 6 weeks.
Mate, I don't know where you're pulling your stats from, but all I can see is that last year he averaged over 80 at Suncorp and then mid-50s away. So I'm not sure where you're getting it from that he improved last year. I think he actually went worse, because prior to that it was a 70 average split. So, no, I can't have him first, I think, two games in the first 6 weeks or something at Suncorp. I'm expecting him to average below 60, and then come round 8, round 9, he's going to be very, very juicy.
Well, good luck with that, mate. I'll be very happily, you know, chewing into a steak by that time.
Yeah, well, at least I'll pay up, so we're all good.
Yeah, well, there's that, mate. You know, Nick and I don't have too many bets, because, you know, what's the point?
All right,
I'll get a quarter pound in the paddy. That's what I'll get.
All right. So that's been we've hit an hour and 10 minutes, guys. So we've really smashed it out tonight, and we do have to get a post up, which does put our teams in there as they stand. And then we'll kind of, you know, we'll see there. I mean, we do have some big news, Nick, that we haven't announced yet, so we might as well do that now. He's back, Wacko. He's back on Friday.
That's right. Big man's back. Fox Sports couldn't afford to keep him, so he's come back over to us, and we're paying him in slabs of VB to post the late mail on the site each week, which is awesome. So that'll be up Thursdays for the Thursday night game, and then obviously updated Friday morning for the Friday game. We'll have the captains back as per normal, and the weather report will be back on Thursday afternoons as well. Been buckling down up here in Brisbane for the last week or so. So, yeah, mate, good. Great to have Wacko back on board, isn't it?
It is, and yeah, so Nick, you've covered it well there. There's going to be a bit of a pre-lockout thing that's happening tomorrow. There'll be obviously the chat, which is available over the weekend for live scores and everything. The next few weeks is going to be massive, and we'll have buy, sell, hold back next week too. And Joe's teams, or Serge's teams, each and every Tuesday, and then also Wilfred's minutes from the Monday. So all the articles that you guys have loved from the past few years are all back, and looking forward to a massive season. So with that said, I think it's time that we get off the podcast, guys. And I know I need to go and make about another 1,000 changes to my side. So how about we call that?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.